China One Riot and beginning of the visit with Cookie this Sunday after lunch, the 17th of November 74. China One Riot and the visit with Cookie, beginning of it, this Sunday the 17th of November 74. Channel One Riot, beginning a visit with Cookie, this Sunday, the 17th of November, 74. Channel One Riot, beginning a visit with Cookie, this Sunday, the 17th of November, 74. Channel One Riot, beginning a visit with Cookie, this Sunday, the 17th of November, 74.
Mama asked me if I wanted something. She'd just say, sit down and give it to you.
She just sit here and get it. Say, now, here's something.
Yeah, that's right. Now, tell me, give me the straight of that. You was over here Sunday night.
Yeah.
And you'd been knocking around the county. But that was working on those heifers.
Right.
And then you had to go home and put in a rear end or something.
That's right.
And then take off for West Virginia.
That's right.
Well, did you?
Yes, sir. I didn't go that night. It was just too much work in one night to get it all done.
Well, it took longer than you thought.
Yeah, I never left for Monday night. Monday night. Was it Monday night, Sarah, when I left?
Mm-hmm.
Left Monday night and got back last night.
How come did you say?
Monday night and got in there Tuesday night.
Yeah. So you had Wednesday up there?
Wednesday and Thursday up there. But I went in there to get them sheep Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And you had a hard time even getting back there?
That's right. You think that place Daddy lives in is bad.
That's right.
You ought to have been with me there. 11 miles, guy miles. Just up and down. Up and down.
As good as your road?
No.
She has something down there.
No.
Tell her you come down to get something.
Yeah.
Say, don't stand on ceremony.
Yeah, just run on down there. She'll be glad to see.
Them hills were so steep and so rough that I had to go the first gear. Run my truck hot. Back on top of them mountains. 40 miles from nowhere with no water. And snow about 4 inches deep. And me slipping and sliding and in the ditch and out of the ditch against the hill and everywhere. Took me 7.5 hours to go 11 miles.
So that's just unbelievable. I can't believe it.
It took me that long. With that truck and trailer right out there.
Did you see the fella?
Yes, sir. I saw the fella. Saw the sheep. Prettiest bunch of sheep that I ever saw in my life. Bar none. He had it. But I can see why. He was feeding. And of course, ain't nobody gonna be as big a damn fool as I was to go in there to get it. He takes his children out of there to school in a 2.5-ton truck. And I drug my trailer in there. And I mean, I drug it.
In first year?
In first year.
Got it.
I didn't know that there was a place like that existed in West Virginia.
Anymore. And it's right there in your back, daddy's backyard.
It's just 50 miles from daddy.
How far is it off the interstate?
How far is it off the interstate? 14 miles.
That's all. That's amazing what 14 miles can do for you, ain't it?
That's right. You leave Interstate 79, and you go up 19 south, 4 miles. You go up Little Birch, 3 miles. And you turn up the hill. And when they said turn up the hill, that's exactly what they meant.
Up.
It was straight up.
I haven't seen anything like that.
You have not seen nothing to compare with that, John.
Why don't I move to West Virginia? I believe I could have brought you luck. How'd he talk?
Well, sir, I'll just lay on the line. He wanted it in strictly cold greenback cash because him and his wife were separating. He didn't want no checks, no cashier's checks. He didn't want nothing.
Uh-oh.
He just wanted strictly cash because he couldn't say his wife wouldn't have no proof of what he got out of the sheep. Well, any man is a damn fool to start out with $2,000 cash in his pocket to go 1,000 miles.
Didn't you have a blank check?
Yes, sir. I had a blank check. I had a blank check signed by Jack Stokes. Got it in my pocket right now.
And he wouldn't take it.
And he wouldn't take it. He said, I don't. He said, Jeff, good. He said, that's no problem. That's not it. But it was 20 miles back out of there to the closest bank. And I banked, I wasn't going back in there again.
And he wasn't going to take you?
No. Why, in a 2.5-ton truck, oh, I'd have had my liver bounced out. I can see why his wife left me. I can see why. Believe me.
He belonged to the Church of God?
I don't know what he belonged to. But he lives in God's country. He must belong to the Church of God because he lives in God's country.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie. Some of them people have got beliefs. The hardest bunch of fellas I ever ran into in my life was a bunch of conscientious objectors.
Yeah.
I there's a whole outfit of them there, and they used to take turnabout sending us over there to, you know, for some duties. And I'm telling you, you didn't order them boys around.
You didn't want they said. But I tell you what, we've got 158 farms back in there. 3 years ago, he gave $65,000 for it.
Three years ago, $65,000.
You don't have to go in real estate. You just go around and look at what he finds out, Sadie.
And Daddy's only asking $30,000 for his. And you can drive a Cadillac into it anytime you want to.
He's an outsider. The old lady just don't care for it back that far.
She just can't hack it.
But he likes it.
He likes it. He's gonna stay there.
How big did you say it was?
150 acres. Got two of the prettiest kids you ever laid your eyes on.
Was the wife there?
Yeah. She's good looking. Yeah, she knew I was coming. She's gonna get her half of that money. Yes, my fella.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I got in the horse neck. Oh, did I ask you?
Oh, you mean they performed for you?
Yes, sir. I sat in my truck. I didn't know which way them bricks was going to fall. And,
She come out with him?
No. He was there by himself when I got there. She drove up later. In a Jeep.
Yeah, it's four wheel.
That's right. Asked me how did I get that rig in there.
Oh, did she?
You wanted to
but they're outside it.
Yeah. He is. Now she would be civilized if she had a chance.
Would she?
Yeah. But see, she left. She's leaving home. Well, she's giving up her two children to get away from him. Them two poor little kids are going to stay there with that ignorant bastard. They got to stay with him. And I'm telling you, that little girl, your mind's in the set, but she's pretty as a doll. She's 15 years old. And what a future has that little girl got? 11 miles from no damn place. In 11 miles, there's two houses. And you had to just keep on going. But you couldn't turn around.
I never saw anything like it. He's in the wrong business, you see, in this money-making business. He
find out then.
He ought to be in my business, you
I'm
see.
I'm spending it now. That cost me $200.
But look what you run into. Forget if it ain't your truck that gets you going, it's all this stuff you run into.
I know.
You say, what am I running around collecting stuff new for? Well, things don't happen to me like that.
Well, yeah, but you see, I tell you what, it cost old Cookie something to go up and down the road.
It costs to get a little experience, but that's nothing. What's $200 with all that you got?
I ain't got
Why,
nothing.
Hell,
I don't mean nothing to me.
It don't, but it ought to. That's what I've been working on. Trying my darndest to get something out of it. And what I run into, I just run into these mushy people. They can't move. Take them a week to get the mine made up to go up to Raven Gap. It's 100 miles past Atlanta. Right there in the edge of the Smokies.
It's 7 miles, and I'll be there. 7 miles, and about $30, and I'll be there. Yes, sir.
They that's the center up there.
I'll tell you what, if it's pertaining to livestock and horses, I can get around.
Yeah.
I can move. I ain't bragging.
Of course you can.
What age fella are you? 40?
five.
And the children?
He had a daughter 15, and his son was 13.
Yeah.
And he's working them to death.
Oh, he's working them.
You better believe.
Well, let me tell you,
them.
That sounds like one of them Amish from up in Pennsylvania.
He is working them kids.
He's not
killing
Amish,
them.
Is he?
No, he's killing them. I feel sorry for him. It's too much on them, Guy Miles.
A man won't do that unless he's Amish, a judge of God or something. He gotta be.
That man has to. I'm telling you the God's truth. He takes them children out every morning at 6 o'clock. Catch a school bus. He brings them back in when he quits work at 6, 7 o'clock at night. They milk the cows. They feed 60 head of hogs. 60 head of sheep. 50 head of other cattle. And 14 head of horses. And 35 head of goats. Before they go to school, and when they come in from school, that 15-year-old girl is doing the cooking, keeping the house clean. And that 13-year-old boy is doing the rest.
Where's his daddy?
I never saw his daddy turn his hand.
How long we do that?
All day and all night, getting in and getting out.
You didn't have time to get back. You had to spend the night.
I slept in my truck.
You couldn't go in the house?
I wasn't about to go in that man's house. No, sir.
It freezes your toes out there in that truck.
That's where I burned a tank of gas going in there and coming out. I stay warm.
Yeah.
I had my blanket and my pillow. I didn't go halfway.
But you didn't expect anything like that.
I didn't expect nothing like that.
But you go prepared.
That's right. Well, it's like when me and you left, I had my blankets and my pillow, didn't I?
You couldn't have gotten out of there with 80 sheep. You had to make two trips.
Well, I would have attempted.
Take this little 2.5 ton and go ahead of you in case you need a little help.
I'm talking. I mean, I'm giving extra.
Oh, you were?
Yes, sir. If he sold me them sheep, that's just how good they were. But I want them. They were good. Yes, sir. They were good.
88 of them. Hmm.
85 euros and $3.
Yeah, well, he won't have any left.
No, he didn't want none left.
But he wasn't going to sell them.
That's right. You know what? He was saving almost, giving his old lady about $500 for half of it, and take the rest of it, and have a good time with it. I think that's what the man was thinking of.
You think he's got money?
He don't have to do nothing. He's got money too.
But she can't find where it is.
That's right. He has got the wool pulled over her eyes.
Cookie couldn't even get out of his truck, say.
I'm telling you the truth now. When they get to arguing and fighting and spitting and spatting, and we're going to lock her head off of this and knock her head off of that, I'm going to find something. I'm going to find some cover somewhere.
You mean they had it back and forth?
Yes, sir.
She come up and let him have it?
She come up and threatened him. Well, a threat to me, I'm gonna, I hear that, I'm going to get gone, because I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Did you get on the other side?
I got on the other side and got in the truck and sat down.
You didn't even stay outside?
No, sir. It's cold. That wind a whistling up there and about 3 inches of snow, I ain't going to stand up right.
Took it nothing, I say, it doesn't happen to anybody else like you.
Nah, it was right there, I'm telling you.
It wouldn't happen to anybody else.
If I ever get an opportunity, John Miles, I'll take you to Buckridge.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie. Let me tell you.
Maybe I'll better just walk.
I hope we have an opportunity. Because I've been tied down long enough.
Well,
when I go, I'm going to have a camera. I may have a movie camera. I'm going to get some equipment.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Cause I want when you can't stand out there and talk to people and have to get in a truck, I want a picture of it.
I'm gonna tell you something. If I was out of this mess that I'm in right now, I'd sell my truck and trailer. I'd get a load of dirt. I'd take my little pickup, I'd put me a camper on the back of it. And I'd damn sure have myself a good time. I'd make some money too for somebody. Because I can get 20 miles a gallon of gasoline. I can have me a little old kerosene cook stove where I could cook when I wanted to. I could stop me where I wanted to. If I had the money to get out of this bind that I'm in right now, God help me, I would. And in between spells, I'd work on my old car.
Yeah.
My old pickup.
Yeah.
That I saw. My old buggy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth, I'm just, this trip up there convinced me that old Cookie is what he wants for us. They just start to get me.
You felt it?
Did I feel it? Yes, sir, I felt it.
When did you feel it?
All over.
I say when?
When?
On the trip?
On the trip. It even got next to me.
On the way up there?
No. After I got there and started back, being out in the weather.
Yeah.
Been exposed to all that bad weather.
Yeah.
And then aggravation and the worry that I went through with is just about to get me.
You was over here Sunday night and you left Monday night and then you was over there Wednesday.
That's right.
Wednesday.
That's
and
right.
You left there Thursday morning.
I left there at 12 o'clock.
Thursday.
I left at 12 o'clock Wednesday night.
Well, you didn't spend the whole night.
Not the whole night. Not there. I started out. And it got so damn bad I had to stop. I stopped back there in them dang woods, not knowing whether I'd ever run a moving air wheel or not. Went to sleep. Went to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, at midnight, it got so rough there, you was...
Rough.
And they kept it going all that time?
They was going when I left.
Well, that's dangerous, Cookie.
You better believe it's dangerous. You can see why I left there. I didn't even have a decent tire tool in my truck.
She wanted him to sell them, I guess.
She wanted him, she begged him to sell them to me. So she could get that $1,100. The little girl begged him to sell them. No, he said, just leave him there and she's out in the field. They ain't costing me nothing.
Because you had to be in the truck.
Yeah, I could have went to town and got the cash. But when she found out how much he was getting out of them,
yeah.
That dropped the line right there.
How'd she find out?
The little girl told him. Figured it out.
She had overheard y'all talking.
Yeah, $25 a head, 88 heads, figured out these things.
How fast, eh?
Well, you expected to pay for them, of course.
Sure. I expected to pay for them. I had to buy everything to pay for them with. Even had the purchase order. Everything. See, I was going through the university.
Yeah.
What? You get a purchase order, why, it takes you about a month, 6 weeks to get your money out of them. The university where Jack Stokes was going to go ahead and put up the money. Then we was going to process them from there.
So you took off at midnight, Wednesday?
Up there, yes, sir. Glad to get out.
But you didn't get out until Thursday morning?
I didn't get out till Thursday about noon. Because I laid down and slept and rested. It didn't cost me nothing to lay down and sleep. Nobody bothered me.
Was your gas on?
I run for a little while. Warm it up in there.
And you turn it off.
Yeah. Left my windows open because I won't lay down in the truck with it not running unless the windows are open.
No.
Thursday.
I got into Dad's Thursday afternoon.
I wished I had been there when you pulled up and seen your dad.
He was provoked. I told him what happened. He said, "The son of a bitch."
He never run into anything like that.
No, sir.
You and your dad are as much alike, running the same in the same sort of way as any two I ever saw. And it just keeps on being that way, and keeps happening to him, and it keeps happening to you. And neither one of you looking for it, asking for it.
I mean, it hits you right in the face. I mean, it happened before you realize what's going on.
Well, this is a small way, but look at that. He left there. You see, you and me was going to hold down the house where they could take a little turn, trip,
yeah.
And look what happened. He got up there, and your mama stayed up there, and he come back.
Yeah.
With them calves. And then he'd go back and get some more.
Yeah.
Well, now look at that. You see, the same thing happens to him, it happens to you. He didn't go up there looking for something.
No, he was going out there to dodge something.
Get away from it.
I'm telling you.
I still don't know exactly what happened. They had those calves up there, cows, and they didn't have any grass. They would turn them into the corn.
That's right. And
the corn got frosted on and made fodder, and it wouldn't hold them.
Okay, they wouldn't eat it.
Wouldn't even eat it.
No, it's sour, see? They wouldn't even eat it, period.
Sour.
Yeah. You have to frost it, after this frost bit, like that, it's sour, and they just won't eat it.
Oh, it's got to make fodder before the frost hits it.
Yeah. It's got to die down before the frost hits it. So you got to cut it and make it die. Well, see, they had that early frost.
Oh, I see.
Before they had time to get it cut and put up.
You mean it frosted? That was on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And he was over there. I can't add that there. But anyhow, it was in a week. And by that time, it's soured.
Yes, sir. If frost bites it tonight, and it gets warm tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow, it's going to sour.
Just take a day.
That's right. And it'll make them sick.
Yeah.
If they eat it,
yeah,
it'll make them sick.
I see. So it hadn't made fodder yet. It was still green.
Still green. Corn hadn't got good and hard yet. So they lost it all.
The whole shebang.
Well, there wasn't much of it, about an acre and a half, I guess.
Well, hell. The way it is now, that's a gold mine.
Well, they didn't lose as much there as I lost on this trip.
I know, Cookie, but this, I tell you, when you start going around in a rig, I'm telling you, luck's got to be with you.
Are you telling me? You sure got to have something.
And that's the way it is with the big boys. They can't deadhead very much.
No, sir. No, sir, they can't deadhead. See, I deadheaded up and back. The only thing I accomplished, I got Guy Miles' shoes and his dog to it.
What'd your mama say?
She said, since you were the sheriff and all of the good cooking, that you called, and talking about the dogs like you was, that you just had to share one of them with
me. I told her to keep that dog for one of them grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's a child's dog. That's one of the smartest dogs I ever saw for a child. Now you see about this moving business? A perfect chance. Now what's she got to do? She got some excuse. You see, and the thing is, you see, they can't move, Cookie. They cannot move.
Oh, I've got to move. I've got to go. I've got to roll.
He's going to go to Tampa.
I went right around 800 and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday after lunch, the 17th of November 74. Channel 1 right around 800 and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday, the 17th of November 74. Channel 1 right and beginning the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday, the 17th of November 74.
If you couldn't get up and turn
you
it
see
off.
What's coming on after that one?
Is that coming on next?
That's sheer comedy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just relieve all those doubts that the newsmakers make.
Oh, my word. I haven't followed this Ford business too seriously.
over. Can you imagine Ford operating diplomatically anywhere?
with that dress suit on, morning suit,
morning light on. Oh my God. My brother goes over there just simply to talk business, and and we were born over there, and he has at least a sign.
You want some more light?
No, I don't want any more light at all. He has some protocol about him, sensitive person, and he has difficulty operating. And, I mean, Ford can't handle it. There's no way he can handle that situation. At all. And Mays goes over there and he's absolutely astounded by what happens. You know, the gift giving, the protocol. I mean, these people are very different people. And it's strange to see them getting also Dunkin' Donuts involved, because this, like in Europe, these guys here in Gainesville, they bought the franchise, Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise for Germany.
The whole Germany.
And they went over there and they dropped $1 million and bombed out. Well, it was Gene Smith, and see. Guy, things get awful short once in a while, because Gene Smith's mother used to, her husband ran the bar over in Hawthorne that Marjorie Rawlings used to drink at all the time.
Oh.
And she knows Marjorie Rawlings.
Yeah.
His mother. And Gene Smith was a major, about one-third participant, if not half. Hell, when he sold out his business that his mother started, I got, just today I picked up about, it was probably $13 million he sold it for.
Good Lord.
At least, if not more.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like that ought to be a source of money for somebody, doesn't it?
He's got it. No problem about it. But he's following the fiscal policy. He's not going to let it go next March. That isn't what I came to talk about either. It's just one of those oddities of the comparisons of the cultures, and that Japan is buying Kentucky Fried Chicken and Europe's not buying it.
And there's absolutely no way of anticipating that.
Well, I would have anticipated it in a way. I mean, if I were in there projecting, because Japan has been the prime copier. You know, like their Zero plane in the Second World War with our plane, and they've always been copiers. And they innovate on the copying and carry it straight through, and with a great deal of finesse. But yet they still have a cultural heritage that the other, our Western world, can't contend with, you see. But in Europe, they're obstinate bastards. You know, they've got this other heritage that's just like ours, and they don't accept it.
Le poulet au vin.
Well, I...
Oh, what do you know? Well, good. Hey, give me a piece of that bread.
You have one.
You need
that's
it.
That Hearthstone. That's
I know. I just want to try one.
Yeah. I was trying to
wait. It's not very good.
But there's a strong reason for the acceptance, I think, culturally, of what's happening and the rejecting in Europe, if somebody wanted to get into it. I think it's pretty well substantiated. And it's nice that the American businessman originating from Gainesville just sees his opportunities and goes over there and peddles.
and he gets blown for $1 million. But if he'd peddled in Japan, see, he would have made it.
How about that?
But yet, Japan has a much more rigid cultural background than Europe does. I mean, you don't give anything unless you give it with two hands. And in Europe, they're much closer to us. But hell, they're eating Kentucky Fried Chicken over there, Dunkin' Donuts. It's very. I hadn't analyzed it all. I just saw it and thought about it.
That's not so bad. Just plain bread.
It's not like we. Mother stuff.
Wade had a pull. He just sees him on the street and tells him how much he wants.
That's a good suit. Can't read it.
Faye went up to get one of the loaves the other day and they said she'd have to buy in town.
They wouldn't sell it to me. It's making okay.
Well, we'll get that changed.
I really don't want to bother with one loaf.
You just stop it and I'll buy it from you.
Yes.
You'd be the middleman. I don't know. Is it healthy? Is it safe?
Oh, I'm sure of that.
Well, I forget it. Cookie is precious money. Now, he got a pickup truck. He thinks if he's lucky, he'd get $1,200 for it. I don't know anything about it. He says it's worth more than that. Why am I telling you?
That's one of the nice things about what's happening there. Everybody's selling.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are boning down, tearing down.
Yeah.
They're selling out all this superfluous stuff they got a hold of.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. If I can just keep solvent, I can get me a little staff here of the unemployed.
Well,
I gave the boy $20 there. I said, you've got a little gas money. I don't know how you're running. Yes, he said, thank you. He said, my little food with it, too. How about that? You know, that's what they used to say. The only thing that made the economy work was hunger. If everybody's not hungry, why, hell, even the dog out here that used to bark at me so much, he's so well-to-do now, he don't hardly bark. Very seldom.
His heart's not in it today. He picks up a stick and runs and barks a little bit.
That's that nigger dog, don't you?
Mm-hmm. It's a different. Somebody needs to work on this new depression.
Yeah.
New Times Magazine did a good thing to start with on it, but it's just crying hurry. It's not anything like you deal with. You know, hit surface, bounce around, and give indications. They don't deal with it directly. And there's a lot of nice direct material available right now in depression, so-called depression, and that's it. That people are still very well fed. Well, the New Times Magazine had their lead. I mean, I was offended at them because I don't like negative attitude, and I saw it said, you know, said the new depression, so that set me down right off, and with the cover. Was the bread line. Everybody's standing in the bread line, and the bread line leads up to McDonald's hamburger stand. and that's where everybody's, that's where they're at now. That's hard times.
Yeah.
They're all standing in line to hand McDonald's hamburgers now.
Yeah.
Times are tough.
Yeah. But still, they're well fed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
well,
what was that you told me when I called you and I said, I guess I would apologize. I wanted to, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I kept getting off on something else, was about how your company is holding together, if it was holding together.
I don't know what I would have told you guys.
Huh? You remember that?
I had no idea what I would have told
well,
you.
Well, I said, did you find any hook or crook, any way of working it? You said, yes. I was in trouble. You just look at it.
I was in fine fettle that night.
Looking at something really
does. I was in fine fettle. That was a marvelous evening. I mean, everything in the world transpired that evening.
Yeah.
It really did.
You'd like to have it spread out a little bit more?
To understand it maybe. But one of the things that happened, a friend from Germany called, and he's coming over. And whether or not you can take it, I think I'm going to have to bring him over here. He's as he described himself, an old German bastard. And he's coming over to give a talk in Birmingham or something. Hans Alberger, he's an MD. Well, we lived with him for a while, back when Sandra and I were together.
In West Florida?
No, here in Gainesville. And he's a marvel.
Oh, I remember. I had clear forgotten Sandra.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good to see.
Yes, she was around when I first knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Anyhow, he's he's pretty much up in the world about giving talks and things.
But I never knew her.
No, well, you never knew Hans, but when he came over here, he couldn't get along with anybody at the med center over there, and Sandra met him, and then we met. We became the best of friends. he just learned, he knew five languages, but he didn't know English. And he learned English coming over on the boat from listening to records. He had a good background in Latin, and there's no reflection on me. But, so we'd get together and talk, and, we could get along very well. And he couldn't handle anybody at the med center.
Yeah, they couldn't take him off.
Mm-mm. Well, he was a surgeon at that time. Well, he just gotten out of surgery. Because bad politics in Germany. Stuff holds on to politics more than anything else. And he joined the wrong political party and lost his position as surgeon. He was the assistant chief surgeon at the Munich Hospital in Germany. And so then he got into anesthesiology over here, and evidently just went ahead and made a success of it.
Yeah.
But he always considered himself as a philosopher,
yeah.
And as far as he's concerned, surgery was his hobby. Quite a different approach to most of the people over here.
Yeah, that's quite.
And that's just something he played with. And he'll be, I have no idea. He's still the same.
I tell you, I think these physicians and surgeons, ours are pretty sensitive about that thing. You know, that here they are, well to do, and get buy anything they want. Leisure time and all the bigger things to play with, as Brett said. And but see, they don't have that mental play that this fella has.
Well, Hans has got it. He's got it. He's got that playfulness, but yet it's built into the old German style. He's quite an unusual character.
Yes, I'd forgotten all about that. I forgot she ever lived here. Not all. I used to feel sorry for her. As she was working around, you see. You know, all I just saw her, you know. I don't have a number to even talk to her.
Well, hell, she's a success on her own part now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She goes around and gives talks on mental health. And
never had much out of it, but she can talk on
it. Well, I was talking to David Flagg. Well, as a matter of fact, it was the same night you called up. I called up David, and I was right inspired, and told him that we really had, I mean, we were doing everything right, but we hadn't necessarily agreed on anything. We were messing around the bottom level. Well, he got quite confused about that. That's just to give you an introduction to it. And I knew what I was talking about, and he couldn't understand it. So, he professed to this not understanding for about 2 days, and then today we get together, and see, I went in full of strong intent, like I need to get these brochures and things done. So, first thing he says, when I finally get him off, and we get together, he says, well, Wade, what? Who is Guy Miles? See, I'm in there for business. Limited time. God. And so he starts off on that. Now, see, this is just right after me telling him about agreements on getting together about things, and he doesn't understand that, and he's all full of confusion about agreements. And what I was trying to tell him is, we agree on like whether or not we need to do this one thing here or that one thing there, but we hadn't really gotten together somewhere. He didn't understand that, but then the first thing he hits me with is, he was Guy Miles. Now, he's still pretty scattered. I think we can get him together.
Yeah.
Business world's weird.
Yeah.
It get your mind running. I mean, I see my mind working that way, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're sitting there talking to somebody, and all of a sudden you realize you got to jump up and call and make a telephone call, something like that. I mean, you know, it's really obnoxious to act that way. I mean, I was doing that today. But he's evidently something got him thinking last night. I don't know what it was. And he said he thought of three people, and oddly enough, the three people were, one of them was you, and another was the engineer that's working on our project. He's working on the solar systems and things like that. And a friend of his who's, Sterling Demet's his name, he's over in Tampa, and he introduces, and he says, "I'm Sterling Dimmitt, photographer." He's got 3 PhDs and 2 masters.
Really?
If anybody calls him doctor, he gets pissed off. He doesn't like it. And he introduces himself as a photographer. Here I'm trying to introduce myself as something else.
I never feel, when I'm talking to anybody, I don't know, I never feel to be adult whenever they just come through when I, and they say, "Well, now what do you do here?"
Mm-hmm.
I just, words won't come to me.
It's an impossible situation.
I ought to say, I do a little research or something, you see. All I need to do is just fling out a little something.
Well, you told me that in 57.
That's right.
And it worked for me.
It
enabled me to catch a check.
It always catches me. I can't think of anything to say. I wonder myself what I do.
Well, you...
What goes on here?
Well, you got to use... Guy, you brought that up a long time ago and it worked.
Yeah, I know, but I can't remember it.
Did I ever tell you about that?
Yes, you got to take it.
Yeah. They bowed down since I said research.
Yeah. You don't need it. Master Jarvis.
Well, anyhow, David, that was right strange he came up with that. He's not necessarily in a transition. He's a dedicated business person. But, and that, you know, when you've been in the business world, it has an effect on you, mental attitude and things. But it's odd that he thought about, for some reason, 3 people. And he didn't understand how come he thought about you at all. And I talked to him, you know, off and on, stuff like that. So I tried to explain the best I could what was going on. He still doesn't know exactly what to make of it.
Yes. He ought to have seen us today. We're down that thing, Cookie Sailor. That big 30-foot horse here. Thinking of getting it ready. Don't think it's mine. Barbara's down there taking pictures with me behind her. She keeps looking, but she never clicks it. I said, "Barbara, goddammit, take a picture."
I know what I need to talk to her next about. Film's cheap.
Film's cheap.
You can satisfy all other people by going click. You never have to do anything. You just go click.
Nothing ever comes out of it. Nothing more.
You don't worry about that. You never do any action. Just clicking.
That's one of my earliest recollections. This fella went around with a camera going click, click. I never saw any of this, anything come of it. He's a GI. Oh, that seems an innocent time, World War II. Period of innocence.
You know, that's amazing. I believe it really was.
Yeah.
About the last of the pure wars.
all the old tricks have got abroad now. They're not fun anymore.
Nope. Nope.
Everybody knows them, not much to it.
It's all relegated to the computer now. Just sit back and kill.
Oh, me.
Well, David is, I don't know. It's very strange for him to come up with this thing and wonder what's going on.
Well?
He's looking for alternatives. And I think that, hell, he's my number one buddy right now in the business world.
I realize that. He can come up with suggestions when all the rest of them fail.
Well, it's strange being an interloper in the business world. Or whatever you call them, an intruder. I always get that feeling when there's more than one person there.
Yeah.
That I have intruded. But the upshot of that is there's nothing solidified about it. There's nothing really said, but he just had this feeling, you know, that he needed to pay attention to something going on here.
Oh,
that, that's about it.
Well, we could put on a little demonstration for him, show for him, you know, that he might follow him. A man who's got the muscle that he's got, you know, he's not easily, they're not easily get put off balance.
Well, that's the reason I brought these two tapes here. Probably 30 seconds or a minute on either tape. he gave me these tapes because he's been fooling around with some system, and these are parts of the system tapes, and they're good things to work off of, bounce away from. One's by a theologian, and the other's by somebody else, just talking about things, and they're both terrible.
just talk. Did he hurt somewhere?
No. These are
hand-me-downs.
They're part of a silver mind control, is what it's called, which is a system of developing mental thought, which has validity to it. I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with the presentation in relationship to what you talk about. And these are quite valuable in that sense. Not the whole tape. It don't make it. I mean, you can just pick out any one part of it and listen to half a minute or a minute and then do something else with it. Content, and I'm not talking about content. I'm talking strictly about presentation.
Yeah.
Guy, it's so dull and flat.
Yeah.
The theologian, he certainly needs something going. And he starts off, I happened to plug that one in first, and I cut it out, and I put the other one in, and was equally disappointed. But the theologian is bad. He's just bad. And evidently, he's got a lot of background. He's talking about being in Boston and commissioning ships during the war. He's no young fellow. in his field. And he's draggy, just really draggy. He has no quality to his speech, to his talk. There's nothing involved in his voice.
Just wondering how you got on the story.
Well, he's written books. Oh, he's done all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that'll put you there.
Very important person. And he owns up to it. But This is the kind of, you know, if you want to get off the written word and get back on the talk, it's this kind of comparison thing, you know, in regards to the talk that you work with. They talk about, theoretically, about important things. But it's so flat, guys. So flat.
Yeah.
And has absolutely no personal vibrancy to it.
Yeah. You just wonder how they make it.
They've got it's a rhetoric that is like fourth generation rhetoric. Something that they heard about. Maybe they read it off of a, I don't know, either a record cover or box of cereal. And they're using that rhetoric, you know, and it's terrible. It has, I mean, it's just like Ford or Nixon would carry on. And to me, I mean, I'm trying to get into the, you know, back to the pure talk situation, not the ramifications of it. That is the like Bert, is that his name? I mean, as obnoxious as he might have been in his language, and the fact that he'd wear you out in 15 minutes, at least there's something there. I mean, I wouldn't opt to listen to him for a long time. You know, a little continued period. These guys are bad.
Yeah.
Now, David, you know, he's wondered about what's going on, and he's good, and he doesn't make any direct statements about, well, let's do this or just do that. But he opened it up and he left it open. And he's wondering if he feels like maybe he ought to connect. And I think gently maybe we ought to get him into it. And one of the hell, if you could do a tape intermix, that's one of my terms I'm using now, excuse me.
I can't imagine anything being more rare than to get Faye and Wade together. Because she's just got one term after the other. And it would be, you got to have a translator.
Yeah, so they come sick with Faye. She's going out to the people who apply for grants.
Yeah. My problem is, I get fired up and I talk about this stuff that I'm into, and I use these terms, and then I get tickled about them. It's a mess. It's really a mess trying to get it going.
Well, you can't get that the tape. You can't play much, you know. Really, tapes are hard to listen to. You might get something like Miss Daisy listen to it, talk to the goose. I don't know.
Well, guy, damn it! What I'm thinking about is, I'm just thinking about things that you can use something like this theologian, and then run right in. In other words, you're not talking about content,
because
that's one of the original premises.
Yeah.
And to do a comparison thing, if you want to talk about something, here you have a theologian who is well understood, so far as we know. I don't care about his name. It doesn't bother me, and we don't care about Miss Daisy's name or anything else. It's the voice related to their life. These guys are talking about the importance of life and how you can change your life.
Yeah.
Miss Daisy's talking about her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You part of it. It's the talk.
And you just play 30 seconds of this and go play 30 seconds of anything you want to pick out.
Yeah.
Put them together.
Going over all the stuff that she got under her bed.
An old Huck Finn. Well, that I couldn't continue through these things tonight, so I can't give you any discourse on what they said. but my feeling is that, well, what we were, well, we didn't discuss a lot of things, but David said he's willing to approach it. He gave me these tapes. not for what I'm using them for, but because of the content. And as a way of introduction, you put 30 seconds of this against 30 seconds of something else, or whatever time it takes. Maybe it's more than 30 seconds. Well, this preacher takes long to get cranked up. It's probably 3 minutes. He does a lot of stuttering or time lapsing or whatever it is. So he leaves these pregnant pauses, and he never they never produce a baby. I mean, it's dull rhetoric, guy.
Unfruitful.
Yeah, unfruitful. I mean, he does this, you know, saying something, he stops, and then you say, well, now he's going to really get it on. But it's dull again. he's bad. he's opted out of the standard religion thing, evidently, from what I've heard about him. But he hadn't learned how to talk yet. It'd be hard to.
But he's so far along, he don't have to know.
No. But we were thinking, well, not we. Well, what can you say? I was doing most of the thinking. But I think getting David interested in it. And one of the things that he's finally come to the conclusion of is that he came and bought into this Bob White Productions in Gainesville, which is an advertising firm. And it's so obscure about what they're doing, and he's dealing with clients that they're so bad and nitpicking, and to make money, you gotta sell your mother, your cousin, you know, you gotta sell anything you can sell to make money. And it's right interesting that he's come around saying, and he's starting to really wonder about him buying into that place. But he's the only one there with a great deal of selling talent. But he's been spoiled because he's done some selling in positions of things that he more or less believed in. Like he worked in mental health as a selling agent for mental health. And one of the other guys he thought about last night was the person he was working for at that time, Dimmitt Sterling. Sterling Dimmitt, excuse me. You can call him either name when he works. and this guy with 3 PhDs. And they were trying to encourage people to bring their problems to the local mental health group and whatnot. And so they hired David. And one day, Dennis called David in and said, "Hey, David, look, why don't you just like cool it for a couple of months? I mean, you've overdone it." He had everybody in town crazy. They were going for help. I mean, he believed in it, you know, and he went out after it. And he PR'd that thing to death. And all of a sudden, they were overwhelmed. He had to tell them to stop. And see, he's bitten on that particular apple or whatever it is, forbidden fruit. A lot of people bite it once in a while. And so now he's in this very dullard position of selling mundane material, something that he's confessed today. It he didn't confess, but it came up that there's no belief involved in it. So he can't put himself back of it.
That makes a difference.
But he, like Sonny, he's got responsibility. Except Sonny's only 9,000, I think his is about 16,000, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. It's so many thousand a year. Lord, 9,000, that'd be all right with me. So, whenever I talk to him directly about a little of this stuff, he always blanches out and said, and then he runs out through his calculator in his head and figuring out, well, you know, I've got responsibilities. And I keep telling him, David, I'm not talking about your responsibilities. You're going to handle those. I'm talking about us agreeing on something, getting it moving. And I think he's ready to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's working with me in a nice way, in a really good, smooth way. It's difficult. See, I've moved a lot of things around on a no money basis now. You know what I'm doing. I don't particularly like it. I like people to get paid, but it takes a lot of effort and expends a whole lot of time. If you got a lot of money, you walk in and ask them to do things, and they hop to and do it. Otherwise, you sit in the ante room for a while. Or you wait on the phone for 30 minutes till they get ready to talk to you. So you just have to hang out if you don't have the money. Strange world.
But David has a little money.
No, he's not going to die. I think he's got more courage than he has money because he's living a good life right now. But he doesn't have a lot of backlog.
Mm-hmm.
He still has to make money. A lot. He couldn't pull out for 6 months and make it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not too easily. Well, these people would hurt particularly bad when you run into at least $1,500 a month expenses. And you don't have quite that much backlog, and you hit the end of the 6 months no income period, and then you got catch up work to do on the money scale. It's terrible.
The pawn shop, he said tonight, was just raking in things, and women were taking their wedding rings, and he said the only thing is they come in and they get their $1,500,
$2,000, or $1,500, whatever it is, but then what's going to happen next month? Well, business people are still skeptical about this depression, but they failed to take a perspective on it. And the perspective is out in the media, if they care to pay attention to it. And the perspective is that it's eliminating about 60% of stealing is about what it amounts to. That's the depression.
That's why?
Our depression of today is
limiting, right?
About 60% of stealing. Thievery.
Yeah.
And that's about all it amounts to. But it's hitting people in a bad way, and it hurts poor people, it hurts everybody all down the line because of the readjustment problem. But people will have to reconsider when they're jumping into projects now.
Yeah.
See, stealing is, the Nixon's stealing up there, and here I am working on a project for the government. I'm getting part of it, or a grant, or whatever, and get part of it. So all of a sudden that stealing gets cut out because it's that.
Yeah.
Comparing to that. So everybody hurts.
Well, that's part of it, isn't it? You know, it's amazing, Wade. It's staggering, I guess, if you really know much about it, how much we operate on government money.
Oh. Washoe County's income is 43 or 47% government money. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of, I mean, that's the whole bloody thing.
Way that it couldn't be.
It's true. Yep. That's everything. Well, hell, the Hilton Hotel is one of the major industries in Gainesville. Like one of the top 10.
Mm.
And it just started a few days ago.
Mm.
43%. That's, it may be more, it may be 46 or something like that. I don't know. It's at least 43. Which some people consider to be unhealthy. And it might be. That's true.
Well, they have experts to deal with the government.
The big basis behind it is the university system.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, that underwrites the majority of it.
Yeah.
And, like a capital's not here, or anything like that. And I don't know what Tallahassee is. It'd be interesting to find out. Because
yeah.
They've got the capital. But I wouldn't doubt if we were beyond them in percentage.
This little trip took he went up to he got in with Jack Stoops and has been in for a long time. But this he's been down now, and they took this up, get some sheep and some cows and all for the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And he located them way up in West Virginia, and he went up there, and in just a little bit of it, I want you to listen. Now this is too much for